The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but amazing Jennifer will be doing them today. And they are fun, and you never know what you're going to get. That kind of makes it fun. See that? Fun? All right, the review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. I think when the vice president of the United States starts becoming like acting like a Bible teacher, right there we have a problem. So, Jesus, please come back now. That would be good. Life lessons, by the way, for our faith that we can actually use? Probably won't, but we could if we wanted to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake, and yet somehow at the same time, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Wow, 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That process. No, we're not talking about Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, although those are exceedingly important. Or maybe if you're in a small group, it's a Thursday night or a Monday night or a Tuesday night or a Friday night. I don't know. But what we're talking about is the other times that you are existing as a Christian, because the Lord doesn't just come and visit the earth on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, so to speak. He's here all the time. Everything that's going on, he knows. He's a part of it. So it's not a part-time Christianity or a part-time faith. You either are a Christian following the teachings of Jesus Christ, or you're not. It's kind of like, okay, got it. Here's the element to this. You might have an opinion on that, a comment, a thought, a question. You might have a prayer request, a praise report. You might have an answer to Bible trivia, which we'll do in the next segment. Any of those are possible. If you do have that, you can call us at 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, amazing Jennifer will answer the phone.
That's me.
That's you?
That's me.
And it'll be amazing right up until she turns you over to me. And then not quite as much. You can also text us during the show, 214-210-8483. Be aware that the people that do text the really nasty things, I don't read those. Okay. 214-210-8483 on the text. You can also email david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org, which leads us to our website. Website has videos and has audios, has different jokes on it. Plus, it has encouraging elements for people that are going through tough times. Plus, there's a little bit of craziness on that website. I would imagine you would understand that. All you got, and then also, by the way, a place to give. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. All you got to do is go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, a couple things we want to make sure we keep on the board that everybody is aware of. We're going to be jumping into Matthew chapter 4 in just a second. Don't forget that yesterday during the show that our wonderful Mary had called in, and she had made a reference to Luke chapter 7 as well as John chapter 12 about the anointing over Jesus and that they were two separate people. And I made the mistake of saying they were one, and that was my fault. I was wrong. The one who did it in Luke 7 was, in fact, a prostitute, and the one in John 12 was, in fact, Mary of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands that when you make a mistake, you look at it and go, oh, yeah, I did that wrong. And that happens on a regular basis unless you're Jesus. Okay? And so that'll happen to everybody else you talk to except for Jesus. So bottom line is keep those things at the forefront of your mind. But Mary did inspire me, and I do have the shortest, longest books of both the Old and the New Testament. That might be a trivia question coming up sooner than you think. Let's keep everybody in prayer. We want to keep Donna Gale and her family in prayer, as well as our good brother Ace. We want to be thankful for Joyanne and Cordelia for the grace that God has given them through their situations. You want to pray for Eric? He told me he was going to the dentist. I said, I'll pray for you. That's not my favorite place to go. So he needs prayer. We all need prayer, and you all need to be praying for one another. And here's the most amazing thing. If you spend a few minutes praying for others, you know what the Lord is going to coordinate in your life? People praying for you. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. Every time that's quoted, everybody's just talking about the negative. It's like, well, wait. It's not just negative. I mean, what if you are committing and serving and trying to get what the Lord will take care of? If you're refreshing to others, refreshment will come to you. That's how it goes. That's how the Lord coordinates things. So I just want to encourage you to be one of those people that pray and care about others the way you'd care about yourself. Then you'll find other people caring about you. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it's really kind of quite a unique system, isn't it? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, and we're to start at verse 5, and we'll get a little bit of pushback on some of this because of what I'm going to say, but I want you to listen to both this segment and the next segment before you kind of, you know, go, ah. So relax a little bit. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5, this is the temptation process between Satan and Jesus. After the baptism, before the public display of ministry, he's going through this wilderness process. We've already talked about the 40 days possibly being connected to Israel in the 40 years, plus a few other things. Here, the devil's going through the second level of temptation. Listen, I want you to catch this because it's all kind of important together. We already said in the very beginning, in verse 4, he said when the devil tried to tempt him to change the stones into bread, Jesus said, "It is written." Which we understood that the Lord was making it clear that the Word of God contains your ammo to stand against the enemy. But he didn't just say the Logos word, which is the word written. It is written, we must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That word in the Greek for word, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, is rhema, and that's the spoken word. So it's both the written word and the spoken word by which we stand firm in the Lord. After that happened, the devil, this is verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." And then he goes on to say he will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So let's just stop and take a deep breath here. First of all, I want to point out that sometimes temptation takes us to weird places. I just saying, you think that's crazy. Oh, no. You see, the devil knows. He's not omniscient. He's not all-powerful. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't have all control, but he's not an idiot. So, and he's been working with mankind from the beginning, so you would assume to some small degree he kind of knows what pushes buttons, right? So he takes Jesus to the holy city and has him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. To me, that's just like, how weird is that? I can't be the only person going, he's got him doing what? He's standing on the pinnacle of the temple. What is going on there? And then the devil does this, and for a very specific reason. He says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." Then the devil quotes Psalm 91, verse 11 through 12. And I have heard many commentators, and I love them, and I love these teachers. I don't dislike any of them, but they're all like, well, it's taken out of context, and da-da-da-da. Nah, not that much. Okay, it's not really that much taken out of context. That's not the issue. What we're going to do is find out the solution to it. But what I want you to know is that Satan is not a dummy. He's an enemy, and he's quoting scripture. So what does that mean to you and me that the enemy is quoting scripture? Well, that means that he knows about the book. It means he knows what the book says. By the way, it also means he knows he's going to lose. Because he can read the end of a book, too. He doesn't have a choice anymore. All those choices are gone. He's just going to fulfill his role as God deems it purposeful. So the devil will never do anything. He can't even, listen to this. In the situation with Job, he had to ask permission to attack Job, right? Correct. And then in the situation with Peter, he had to ask for permission to sift Peter like wheat. Is that correct? Correct. That ain't the problem, because everything has to run through the Lord. The problem is, in both of those instances, God said yes. That's the thing you should be a little more concerned about, is God said, yep, okay, go ahead. Yep, go ahead. Here's my point in bringing that up. The devil knows what the scripture has to say and is going to use it. What we're going to do is answer that the way that Jesus answered that on our second segment, which is why I don't want you to freak out until we get there. But I want you to understand that a lot of times you and I will find ourselves in circumstances and we'll quote scriptures for those circumstances. That's exactly what's going on here. And it's not necessarily an abuse, but you'll see this little trick that's played in that Jesus answers with one word. Isn't that amazing? The Lord is so amazing. He just kind of, bam, and then he wins. It's like, great. That's who you serve. That's your Lord and Savior. We'll take our break, and then we'll come back. I hope you're ready for it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And, you know, every once in a while you get some extra time in with the Lord and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Right. What's going on? You want to know the answer, I guess.
I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elijah raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
Seven.
That is correct, sir! You are right! A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed seven times, and then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those seven times without his eyes open, which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do, how do you, my eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happens.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
yes,
him?
Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but you have
we'll
to
have
sit
to
there and wonder.
To find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although it that could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent,
excellent answer.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right. We roll. That's a great question that he sneezed in his face. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're going to do our first trivia question, then we're going to do DNA, because then I just remembered, Jennifer, we forgot to do DNA yesterday. I just completely spaced it out. And then, wait till you hear this follow-up to what we're talking about. This will just, I think you'll really appreciate when you see all of this together, which is one of the reasons why we need to do our best to read Scripture in context. But here is your first trivia question. What did Jesus promise he would give to the weary and the burdened if they came to him? What did Jesus promise he would give to the weary and the burdened if they came to him? If you think you know the answer, you are welcome to call us at 972-445-0770. I will tell you, this would probably be one of our easier questions. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. And then, again, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. So in lieu of the fact that I didn't do the DNA yesterday, let's do that real fast. Remember, DNA is our building blocks of what we're made up, what we're using spiritually. And like I mentioned, there's 500 people that have different Christian DNA. This is not, hey, this is overly spirit. No, it's not. It's just the one I'm using. It's like, you can use this one. You can use another one. I don't know. Whatever's good for you. I hope you like it. Here's our DD, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Now, see, that's an important part right there. Because when Jesus talked about teaching us to pray, he said to the Lord, in illustrating that prayer, give us our daily bread, which means that prayer was going daily. All right. Now, somebody's calling in, so Jen will have to get that. She won't be able to do the last one, but that's okay. The N, by the way, for the DNA stands for never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Why that's important is because one of Satan's better tactics that he's used is to try and use a false righteousness in the world and condemn Scripture as though it's archaic when it's in reality the truth. And so what he wants to do is make people ashamed of it. You see? So that's the D, that's the N. And then the A is always be ready to serve. There it is. See, she came back for it. Good job, by the way. And service has to do with you and me being willing to be a vessel or a vehicle that the Lord uses to express his love to other people in whatever capacity. You know, serving the kingdom of God could be helping somebody with a flat tire. I've actually had that experience where I helped somebody with a flat tire, got to share the gospel. I've had another experience where I helped somebody with a flat tire and got to get a lot of dirt on me. Sometimes it goes great, sometimes, but you got to be there. That's the key. That's DNA. All right, we got somebody ready to answer the question, and here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Amanda. My dad says hi.
Okay, how are you?
I'm great. I didn't think you were going to answer.
Well, absolutely. All right, now are you ready for this one? This is a big one because a lot of people need the answer to this trivia question. So we're going to put it at you and I. I'll do it together. Here we go. We'll work it out. It's real straightforward. What did Jesus promise he would give to the weary and burdened if they came to him?
Rest.
That is correct! You are right! You got it. That's what he promised. He would make it rest. And boy, that is one thing that people need is, I mean, if you could say it in today's language, you'd just be able to say, hey, chill.
Take a chill pill.
Yeah. Exactly right. I used to tell people, you want a chill pill? Take a goss pill. That'll make you calm down right there. Excellent job. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you, too, and y'all have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Excellent work. Okay. Now, I want you to get ready because I told you I'm going to kind of run this through, okay? I'm going to run this through what we were just talking about. I don't want you to miss this because there's one word that's going to, you're going to go, ah, it's the old Yiddish joke, aha, aha, right? All right. So I'm going to take it back to Matthew 5 and then run all the way through to verse 7. You'll understand. Just watch and hang out, or listen and hang out anyway. You're not watching. Then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." And then the devil quotes Psalm 91, 11 through 12. "He will give his angels orders concerning you, and they will support you with their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Okay? Now just bear with it. Verse 7. Jesus told him, ready? "It is also written." See, this is why Jesus is so smart. It's just amazing. See, it's not whether that was written or not. It's not that the devil misquoted, which is what most people think. It's the balance of Scripture. In the NASB, it says, "It is written again. It is also written." And what does that mean? That's the key for you and me to understand when people are doing Bible teachings, myself included, that the best of our abilities is to bring into balance all the Scriptures, not just some for our choosing. In other words, when people start to establish doctrines, and even in your brain you're going, that seems a little squirrely. They're using one part of a verse and then using another part of a verse and then using another part of a verse, and they're coming up with a doctrine. The answer is, yeah, that's not right. You know it's not right. You're already looking at it going, wait a second. Here's the bottom line. It's the balance of Scripture. The best interpreter of Scripture is Scripture, not people. In other words, Scripture does the best job of interpreting Scripture. And what you want to do is have balance when you are using the word, making sure that you're not taking one portion and abusing it. And so Jesus responds with the "don't test the Lord." It's one thing if Jesus fell off the rock. It's another thing for Jesus to jump off the rock and say to God, the Father, "prove it." That's completely different. And Jesus just uses one word to set the record straight. That phrase should become, for every listener, every person hearing my voice, one of your best friends. Because in your process of warfare, and in your process of not being discouraged, and in your process of trying to regain your footing, and in your process of staying in that place where you're not just treading water, but you're walking above water, in all of that is the fullness of what God has to say, and using all of it, not some of it. Even in tough times, even when there is mourning in the evening, and when there's discouragement in the evening, joy comes in the morning. And so if you have the balance, instead of getting stuck on one thing, you have all of it, all of Scripture. And that's why you'll hear me and try to encourage you to read all of it. Now, is the New Testament exceedingly important? Well, you know it's exceedingly important. That's the whole New Covenant. And if you really understand what Jesus was talking about in regards to John the Baptist, some of the other things, you use the new to interpret the old. But you don't ignore the old, since Jesus spent most of his time quoting the old. So we know it's very effective, right? All of his responses, by the way, against Satan, all of Jesus's responses came out of Deuteronomy. I'll tell you everything you got to know. You know how Jesus beat Satan? He knew Deuteronomy. That's how he did it. So my point in telling you that is, you know what? The enemy knows the word, but you get to know the word too, and you can effectively use the word of God to defeat the attacks of Satan. So when Satan says Jesus isn't with you, he doesn't like you, right? Because you're a sinner, you just turn around and go, well, Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20, Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's the truth. And you have that. Now, when we, and I do want to bring this up. Now, when we sin, is that a good thing? No. That's a bad thing. And sin causes damage, which needs to be healed, which is why the scripture says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, because we create our own problems. That's something everybody's doing on a regular basis. But is God going to abandon you because you sinned? He's not going to abandon you. He chose you before you ever committed that sin. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He knew you were going to commit that sin. And he provided a way of redemption through Jesus Christ. But you and me and all of us have to stay active in pursuing the Lord. I was just talking to my brother about this yesterday. It's not a one-time faith that you believe it once and it's just an add-on Christianity. Christianity is a consistent faith. It doesn't just happen for 1 second and then you never, no impact, nothing changes. Christianity is a continual faith. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whosoever should believeth in him. Do you know what believeth in him means? It means the continual action of believing. That's all. Did you believe it? Yes, you're saved. You still believing it? You're still saved. That's why it says, if you continue the faith. Why? Because some people say, I believe it, and they even go to church, and you know, they sit in their blessed assurance, and they do different things, and they don't know Jesus. They could care less. It's like, you got to know that's true. If you think that in every church, every person that walks in that door is saved, you're a little shy in reality, because that's just not the case. But you believe and you're saved and you just maintain that faith and the Lord is faithful to you. He won't abandon you. He won't let you go. But you stay in that faith. You don't quit believing. Now, that doesn't mean you can't whine every once in a while, because I don't know one person in the entire Bible except for Jesus who didn't whine a little. I mean, look at Moses. Moses goes, are you kidding? I got to go with these people. He wasn't very happy with that. Anyway, just having fun with that. Just be aware. You need it is also written. You need the fullness of the word. The word of Christ needs to dwell in you richly. Okay? All right, taking our break and then we're coming back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit, because after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Our hope, my hope, is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people who vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it. And it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.